This morning, I want to continue, really, a message that we began last week. A little bit of a series, if you will. At the start of this new year, the first month of this new year, I want to share with you three words. I believe them to be God's word for me. I sense it to be the sort of tugging from the Lord on my heart, within my spirit. I believe them to be for you as well, for even all of us together as a church. Last week we described them, these three words that I hope and pray would set the tone for the coming year. That's really the heart behind the message. This morning, last week, a week yet to come. Three words that I pray for you, for me, would set the tone. Words that would characterize. Words that would become the defining words for this year. 343 days from now. What about 2023? One word to describe it. One single blank for you to fill in. And I understand in the end, no doubt, there will be lots of words that would fit. But I do pray for all of us that maybe first and foremost, above all else, above everything else, before any of the other words, the blank is filled with these three words. December 31st, 2023, as the year would conclude, a new one begin again. As you would in those closing moments reflect on this year, 2023, the word to describe it from last Sunday, I hope and pray for you and for me, for all of us, that word would be closer. Last Sunday, we acknowledged this. Jesus wants us closer. Without preaching the message all over again, can I encourage you? Can I challenge you? Jesus wants you closer. I speak it to all of you this morning, regardless how long you've been in relationship with Jesus. Listen, I speak it to all of us, regardless where we currently are in our relationship with Jesus. Well, Pastor, I'm pretty close. Listen to me. Jesus wants you closer. We need to be closer. Yes, we do. For sure, we do. We considered this last Sunday. To get closer is to overcome the trappings of our satisfaction, of our contentment with where we currently are. Again, no matter where you are in your relationship with Him, you should not be satisfied there. You should not be content there. Rather, instead, you should acknowledge this truth. You need to be closer. One says it this way, followers of Jesus refuse to follow at a distance. Listen now, if you're not moving closer, you're moving away. Can I put that then in the context of this last week? If you didn't move closer, you moved away. Do you remember? No stagnant water, only current. This last week, the current of your life moved you nearer to Him or moved you further away from Him. There's no staying put. There's no not moving. You moved this last week. The question becomes, did you move closer or did you move further away? Jesus wants us closer. We need to be closer, and it's good for us to be closer. Last Sunday, we affirmed our understanding of this, what exactly it is to get closer. It's to seek Him. To seek Him is to call on Him, to forsake wicked ways and wicked thoughts and turn to Him, to look to Him, to depend on Him for guidance. That's what it is to seek Him, and to seek Him is how we get closer to Him. To get closer is to make Him our life's purpose. We make up our minds. We determine. We dedicate ourselves to getting closer, to eliminating then any and every other thing that would be contrary to that one thing, that would be in conflict with that one thing, that would get in the way of that one thing, distract us from that one thing. My guess would be that you discovered that this last week. There were probably things beginning even last Sunday and Monday and Tuesday that were getting in the way of you getting closer. And if you were going to get closer, you had to purpose within your heart to let that thing, to let those things not get in the way. So you had to purpose in your heart to push those things out of the way. Refuse to be distracted by those things, because you had purposed in your heart and in your mind. You had set as the desire of your heart, the desire of your mind. You were on a pursuit of Jesus and getting closer to Him. To get closer, it's undistracted devotion then. It's an unshared dependency. He's not just one of the things we depend on. He's the only thing. He's not just one of the things we're devoted to. He's the only thing. To get closer is to not just learn more about Him. Rather, it's to experience more and more of Him. And last Sunday, this was our concluding recognition. You wish to get closer, and you will get what you wish for. You draw near to Him. You determine to get closer to Him, and you will. Because in response to you doing that, He will draw near to you. You will get closer. Because He will get close to you. You will seek Him with all your heart, and you will find Him. He will let Himself be found by you. One writes this: our highest pursuit is the pursuit of our Maker, and He will make Himself known to all who seek Him. As we get closer to Him, He gets closer to us. And as that happens, oh, our lives, they are forever changed. Maybe you experienced a little bit of that this last week. You determined to get closer, and the Lord met with you in your devotional time, in your prayer time, like you haven't experienced in quite some time. What happened? Simply put, the Lord proved Himself faithful to His word. You drew closer to Him, and He drew close to you, and you experienced His life-changing power in that moment. So the question, a week out now from last Sunday, a week closer to the end of this new year, 2023, did you move closer? Did you do the things that would move you closer to Him? This is true. Track with me for a moment. The year is made up of a series of weeks. 52 of them, right? To conclude the year closer, that will only happen as we draw closer each of those weeks. Another one's now done. Did you get closer? I pray that you did. I pray that this year you will. I pray that you'll make every effort. I pray that you'll determine even again today, throughout the year still to come, to do whatever it takes to push out of the way, whatever gets in the way, so that you might get closer to Him. We are as close to God as we choose to be. I pray you choose today, throughout this year, I pray you choose to get closer. Three words for this year. The second this morning, more. More. When you hear that, and as you consider it then in the context of your own life, how might you fill in that blank? This year, 2023, I want more blank. What do you say? I want more friends. I want more money. I want more time. Maybe more specifically, I want more free time. What do you say? How do you answer the question? Forbes magazine, one of its authors, did a survey. The top 7 answers of the hundreds that responded related to this question. What do you want more of? Number 1 on the list, happiness. Number 2, money. Number 3, freedom. 4 was peace. 5 was joy. 6 was balance. 7, fulfillment. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? 2023, a year of increase, a year of more in all those things. Wow, that would make for a great year for sure, wouldn't it? I hope and pray it for you. It is a year of more in all that, even in all that you would think of to fill that blank. More blank. Whatever you would put there, I hope the year is more of that for you. More. Most of all, the message this morning is for us spiritually. Let me invite you then to consider that for a moment. From a spiritual perspective, in the context of your spiritual life, this year, 2023, I want more blank. What do you say? What word? What thing do you use to fill in that blank? That's the more that we consider this morning. That's the more that we want to characterize and to define this year. 343 days from now, we want to describe the year. It was a year of increase in whatever word you put in the blank. Can you imagine it? December 31st of this year, 343 days from now, maybe we would sit in this room. Maybe we would gather with family and friends. Maybe we would lock ourselves into our prayer closet. Just a few minutes of quiet reflection. This year, looking back on it, this year, 2023, can you imagine it? Wow. It was a year of more. It was a year of increase. More and more and more of that. Whatever that is. Whatever it is that you would put in the blank. Wow, what a year this would be if it becomes then like that. Related to that, to the more, let me just share with you a few thoughts this morning. I believe this is for sure true. Jesus wants to give to you and to me more. Jesus wants you and me. He wants us to experience more. Jesus wants to do in you. He wants to do in me. Jesus wants to do through you and me. He wants to do through us more. This is why we never grow complacent. This is why we never become stagnant, because Jesus' desire for us is more. But haven't I done enough? Jesus says no, because Jesus' desire for you is that you do more. Well, haven't we experienced enough? Haven't we had enough? Jesus' response to you and to me, to us together, no. Rather, instead, my will, my desire for you is more. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfect toward Him, so that He can show His great power in helping them. Jesus is looking for people whose hearts are set on Him. He's looking for them, looking all over the earth for them, so that, can we say it this way in the context of our message this morning? He's looking for them so that in them and through them, He can do more. I believe it. I believe it would be true all the time. I sense it to be especially true for you and for me, for us this time, this year. Listen now. Jesus wants for you and for me. Listen to me this morning. It is the will of the Lord for you and for me more. So first this morning, can I encourage you simply in this? Set your heart's desire on the Lord's desire for you. Listen. Desire the more. Can I ask you, is that a defining passion and pursuit in your life? A for real and honest inventory this morning. Do you want more? Of all the things you want, of all the things you're passionate about, is more one of the things? Of all the things you're pursuing, wanting them bad enough so as to rearrange and realign your life in an effort to get them, is more one of those things? Listen, the Lord's desire, the Lord's will for you, for me, more. So set your heart, passionately pursue His desire for you more. The song says it this way, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Do you know it? I want more. I want more of you, God. Can I encourage you? Make that song to be your song. Let there be a fire down inside of you. Ask the Lord today that He put a fire down inside of you. A fire that can't be contained, that can't be controlled. A fire that is an all-consuming kind of fire in you. A fire of longing in all things related to Him, His kingdom, His work, His will. Oh, may you and I simply long for more. Let this be our theme song. Let this be the song ever on our lips throughout this year. I want more. More of you, God. In Psalm 42 and verse 1, we read this. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with Him? The panting of my soul, the thirsting of my soul, of your soul, let it be more. The controlling question for our lives, when can we go and meet with God? When can we go and get more of Him and more from Him? In Psalm 63, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I do pray it for you. I pray it for me. I pray it for us, New Life, that in all things related to God, no matter where you are in Him, no matter what you have of Him, no matter all you've experienced in Him and because of Him, I pray that there's a holy discontent that settles over all of us. Express then by this simple desire. We want more. We need more. Listen, hear me in this. I don't mean to say it wrong. I hope I don't. No matter what you have of Jesus, I pray that where you are in Him becomes like a dry and weary land where there is no water. So that there in that place, even with all you have, and even with all you've already experienced, there's a thirsting and a longing that settles over you for more. Listen, New Life, I pray that unless there's more of Him here, this place for us becomes like a dry and weary land where there is no water. I pray that whenever we walk through those doors, there's a passionate longing and desire. I've not come for business as usual. I've not come to check the "I went to church this week" box. I pray instead that there's a longing inside of you Jesus, no matter what I have of you, no matter what I've experienced of you, it's a dry and weary land where no water is, unless I get from you more. Listen to this. In Psalm 73, I don't have anyone in heaven but you. Listen now. I don't want anything on earth besides you. Wow. Listen, forget all the rest. What you need and what you really want is more. More of Him. I believe it. I really do. I sincerely do. It's the Lord's desire. It's the Lord's will for you, for me, more. So make your desire for you to be the same as His desire for you, more. And listen, the more won't just happen. That's not the way it works. You'll have to set your heart. You'll have to passionately pursue. You'll have to make it your all-consuming desire for the more to happen. So this morning, the encouragement, do that. Above all else, more than anything else, desire more. Second, this morning, let me encourage you then in this. Seek more. So we're going to go through quite the list. To experience more in all of it would be amazing. Can I encourage you? Maybe better for us to identify the one or two or just the few things that we would seek the more of. And maybe even before that, a pause for you to consider the question again, related to the Lord, related to your relationship with Him, His work in you, His work through you. What are the things you desire more of? Think of it for just a moment. Your prayer this morning, again, related to Him. Lord, I want, Lord, I need more of this. What's the this for you? What do you say? What stirs within your heart? Related to the Lord, His work, His will, His kingdom. I want more. What do you ask Him for more of this morning? How about we start with this? Simply put, and more general than specific, already alluded to, in fact, we just want more of Him. We want more of God in our lives. How about a little more specific? We want more of Him in the mundane. Can I put it to you this way? We want more of Him on Sunday while at church, but we also want more of Him in the middle of a mundane Monday, in the middle of the workday, in the middle of the car ride, in the middle of the day-to-day chores of everyday living. One writes this, there is nothing that will enrich our lives more than a deeper and clearer perception of God's presence in the routine of daily living. Can I encourage you? Can I challenge you? Listen, there's a barrenness that you will live in if you only seek Him in His presence in the context of a church setting. Oh, but there's a thrill you can experience in your life as you seek Him in the day by day, moment by moment stuff. Listen, God doesn't want to be, God can't be compartmentalized. You can't put God in the four-wall box of a church sanctuary. God can't be contained in that. He doesn't want you to contain Him there. God wants to be in every part of your life. Invite Him then into the daily routine. Invite Him more and more and more into the mundane. How about more of His anointing in and on our lives? More of His Spirit. More of His Spirit at work in us and on us. How about more filled and more being filled with the Spirit? How about more Spirit-led, more staying in step with the Spirit? Come on now, it's biblical, right, and fine. How about more praying in the Spirit, in the unknown tongue that the Spirit of God would give to us, not being afraid to lift our voice, praying and worshiping as the Spirit gives utterance, not being intimidated by that. Listen, I know some people make it weird, but how about let's not make it weird and have more of the gifts of the Spirit manifested in our midst. Not the flesh, but the Spirit giving the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discernment, the prophetic word, the gift of healing. More and more of that manifested and evidenced in our lives and in this place. How about more of the fruit of the Spirit produced in us, evidenced in us? One author writes this declaration: because of Calvary, I'm free to choose, and so I choose. I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today I will love God and what God loves. I choose joy. I choose peace. I choose patience. I will overlook the inconveniences of the world instead of cursing the one who takes my place. I'll invite him to do so. Rather than complain that the wait is too long, I will thank God for a moment to pray. I choose kindness. I will be kind to the poor. I will be kind to the rich. I'll be kind to the unkind, for such is how God has treated me. I choose goodness. I choose faithfulness. Today I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love, and my children will never fear that their father will not come home. I choose gentleness. If I raise my voice, may it be only in praise. If I clench my fist, may it be only in prayer. If I make a demand, may it be only of myself. I choose self-control. I am a spiritual being. After this body is dead, my spirit will soar. I refuse to let what will rot rule the eternal. I choose self-control. I will be drunk only by joy. I will be impassioned only by my faith. I will be influenced only by God. I will be taught only by Christ. I choose self-control. Love, joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To these I commit my day. How about that? How about more prayer? How about more of God's word? The Bible is life-changing. Not only will reading and responding to God's word change your life today, the Bible will continually change you as you keep coming back to it throughout your life, throughout your day. It's not enough to sample the word. You need to incorporate the habit of daily coming to the Word, referencing the Word, seeking guidance from the Word. One writes, people who pray for power but neglect the Bible abound in the church. But the power that belongs to God is stored up in the great reservoir of His own Word. We cannot obtain or maintain God's power in our own lives or in our work unless there is a deep and frequent meditation on the Word of God. It's impossible to practice godliness without a constant, consistent, and balanced intake of the Word of God in our lives. Another writes, if you really want to grow in your Christian life, you need to keep coming back to the Word of God. As we study Scripture, we are equipped for whatever comes our way. The truths and promises found in God's word make their way into our heart and life, giving us strength to persevere in trials and courage to stand for Christ in a world where truth is harder to find and hear than ever before, and an ever-growing number of voices speak into your life and mine, all pointing in different directions. What do you do? The best advice I could give you is this: be Bible strong. The only thing that will change our families, after all, our communities, our culture, and our world is God's word. We must know what the Bible says. We must know what it means and what it means for our life, and to share its life-transforming power with those around us. Yes to that. It might not be grammatically correct. Let's be more strong. Let's be more Bible strong. How about more obedience? In Joshua chapter 8, we read the story of the children of Israel taking possession of the promised land. The walls of Jericho have come down, but now the children of Israel go to attack Ai and are soundly defeated. The people are in a panic. What's going on? Only for God to then answer, the defeat has come because there is disobedience in the camp. Hear me this morning. Understand why we need more the obedience in our lives. It's the difference between victory and defeat. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. It's obedience that is the difference between promised land living, experiencing and possessing all the promises of God, and falling far short of all that He has for you, the blessed life that He's ordained for you. It's obedience that makes the difference. So more obedience. More inquiring of the Lord. More asking of the Lord His opinion. Can I just encourage you? Forget Google. Ask the Lord. Forget Dr. Phil. Forget the magazine's advice. The social media. All the YouTube influencers. Forget them. Ask the Lord. Listen. We're glad for family. We're glad for the church family. But even above them, before them, seek the Lord. Inquire of Him. Look to Him. Our first pursuit should always and only be Him, His opinion, what He has to say about what we're going through and what we're dealing with. In Joshua chapter 9, again, it's the children of Israel. Do you remember the story? The Gibeonites come. The Bible titles this story. It's the Gibeonite deception. They make their clothes to be worn out, their bread to be moldy, their wineskins cracked. And they come to Joshua and the children of Israel. We're not from around here. Look how far we've traveled. We want to make peace. And the Bible says this: the children of Israel, even Joshua, saw all the stuff, but they did not inquire of the Lord. And so they made a deal with the people they should have been conquering. Listen, you miss a lot when you miss inquiring of the Lord. Don't miss that. Don't miss doing that. How about this then? Less walking by what we can see. More walking by faith, more inquiring of the Lord, so that we have His insight on the matter. How about more of you, more of your life separated and set apart for Him? More of you, more of your life set apart for His purposes and His plan. How about more of you, more of your calendar, more of your time, more of your resources set aside for His work, for His will, for His kingdom? Can I say it this way? less of you for you and more of you for him. Less of you for this world and more of you for him. The great preacher Dwight Moody said it this way: the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. By God's help, I aim to be that man. Can I encourage you in the context of our message this morning? Wow! What God can do in you, what God can do in me, what God can do in us and through us, as you determine, as I determine, as we determine together, more and more and more to consecrate, to set ourselves apart to him. Listen, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can fathom what God can do in the life of that one, in that church that is fully consecrated to him. So my brother, be that man. My sister, be that woman. Come on, New Life, let's be that church. Let's be more and more and more and more set apart and consecrated to him. More sacrifice. How about more surrender? How about more following the Lord wholeheartedly? That's everything within you. How about more devotion to him? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. More of that. More and more of that, living our lives in a way that pleases God. In Ephesians 4, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Listen now, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. How about that? How about more maturing and maturity? I don't say it to sound rude or mean, but there's some maturing that needs to happen here at New Life. Listen, my brother, my sister, I don't say it to sound rude or mean. There's some maturing that needs to happen in you. And now you, go ahead and say the same to me, because it's true. Pastor, there's some maturing that needs to happen in you. So more of the maturing, more of each part doing its part, more putting off the old way of life, the old corrupted self, more being made new, more newness, more Christ-likeness, more holiness, more light. According to Ephesians 5, the light, it's goodness and righteousness and truth. So more of that, more of the goodness and the righteousness, more of the truth in us, more finding out what pleases the Lord and doing that, more exposing the deeds of darkness, not partaking of them, never partaking of them, reproving instead and standing against them, more careful in how we live, more understanding of what the Lord's will is. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How about that? More love, more submitting to one another, more considering others above ourselves, more service, more ministry, more generosity, more evangelism, more courage, more thanksgiving, more prayer, more prayer and fasting, more faith, more wisdom. How about it? What else? Listen, I affirm that in you. What you sense the Spirit speaking to you this morning, I agree with you and say, yes, let's pursue, let's seek more of that. Desire more, seek more. Number three, make room for more. Can I caution you? In all likelihood, something is going to have to go to make room for the more. It's true in the context of eating. No matter the elaborate meal set before you, if you've been snacking, if you've been eating the junk food all day, you won't be hungry. You won't want to. You won't be able to partake. There's a sense, as we're longing for more, more of the good stuff from the Lord, you're going to have to stop filling your life with the junk so that you can feast instead on Him. Make room for Him as He begins to respond to your request for more and He gives you more. You're going to discover your hands are full, filled with this, filled with that. Not necessarily wrong or sinful things, just filled with things. Your hands are full. You're going to have to let some stuff go to take from Him the more that He's offering. Listen, let it go. Make room for more. One writes, it would seem that admission to the inner circle of deepening intimacy with God is the outcome of deep desire. Only those who count such intimacy a prize worth sacrificing anything else for are likely to attain it. If other intimacies are more desirable to us, we will not gain entry to that circle. Listen to me this morning. Get in that circle. Get everything else out and make room for Him. Let everything in your life, listen to me now, let everything in your life be negotiable for the sake, for the purpose of getting more of Him and all that He would have for you. May it be for us. May it be our prayer. Hungry for Him. Hungry like we've never been hungry before. And that hunger driving us then to a dissatisfaction with any other thing. Letting go then of any other thing. Every other thing. Because we want Him. And we're making room for Him. So tomorrow, come devotional time, your hands are going to be full. I don't know if I have time. I don't know if I have time for prayer, not today. I don't know if I have time for worship. You're going to have to let some things go. The ministry, the involvement, the evangelism, sharing of the gospel with the lost, loving the unlovable. You're going to have to let some things go. You're going to have to push some things out to make room for the more. Listen to me this morning. Push those things out. Make room for the more. And finally this morning, receive the more. Believe it. He wants more and He has more for you. Receive it then. Listen, don't shrug off the promptings you begin to feel in your heart. Unless I miss my guess, you've already begun to sense them. Listen, don't shrug those things off. He's seen the stirring within your heart and he's responding. That stirring for more, you sense it. Your spirit testifies with the Spirit of the Lord. Yes. More, more, more. And the Lord sees that in you. And the Lord responds to that. So he begins to stir within your heart the more. Listen, he's offering you the more. Receive then the more. Go for it. Do it. You sense it. Start the Bible reading plan. Start the ministry. Don't just shrug that off. That's the Spirit of the Lord responding to you. Yes, Lord, I want more. And now the Lord's responding. Here then is the more. Don't shrug that off. Well, I could never do that. Well, that's not what the message is really about. That's exactly what the message is about. The Lord is giving the more to you that you're asking of him. Go for it. Do it. Receive the more. Set aside the time of prayer. Make that day to be a day of fasting. Have you sensed that? I could fast every Wednesday. I could fast breakfast on Thursday, lunch on Friday. Don't shrug that off as if it's nothing. That's the Spirit of the Lord responding to you. Yes, Lord, I want more. The Spirit then saying, well, here then is the more. Do it. Go for it. Become the intercessor. Go pray for the sick, believing that God is going to give you the faith to see healing come into their life. Go share the gospel with the lost. Begin to pray for it. Seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of the Lord responding to you. You want the more? Here's the more. I can fill you to overflowing with my Spirit. Let go of that worldly thing. Is that it? Is that what you're hearing from the Lord this morning? You want the more, but there's no room. You've got to let go of that. You've got to push that out. Walk away from that. That's the corrupted thing. That's the old nature thing. Invite God into everything. Change the radio station to worship music. Invite Jesus into your car as you begin to worship him. Have a Bible on your desk. Invite the Lord into your day. Enjoy him at every free moment. Spend time with him. Talk about him more and more. The weather less. Sports less. Politics for sure less. Invite him more and more into your conversation. Give more. Is that it? Is that the prompting within your heart? To be more generous? To be more involved and invested with your resources? Obey better. Listen, whatever it is, receive the more that the Lord is extending to you. I pray it for you. I pray it for me, for us together as a church family. Listen now, I pray it for each of us. Oh, may it be a year of increase. A year of more. In all things that you would desire more of. But above all that, especially more in all that he would desire more for us. More and more and more. Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts. For a number of minutes now, this people has heard my voice. For these next few, above anything and everything else, Holy Spirit, may we hear your voice. Can I invite you? Just for a moment. Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? Would you close yourself in with the Lord? Would you have a few minutes with him? Can I encourage you? Can I challenge you? Let your prayer start simply with this. Yes, Lord. I want the more. Even maybe you're not sensing, you're not knowing for sure what the more is, what it might look like. Can I invite you? Can I encourage you to pray still? I want the more. Oh, Jesus, hear it from me. I want the more. Hear it from us today. We want the more. I believe it. I believe you've already sensed it. The Spirit of the Lord has already begun to prompt you. Some of the things, some of the more things that he would offer you today. Can I encourage you again? You might not have the full picture. You might not know necessarily all that it looks like. But can I encourage you? Would you say yes to that more? Lord, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know what it's going to look like. But yes, I want the more that's in that. More of your word. More prayer, more ministry. I don't even know what ministry I can do. I don't know how I can be more involved in ministry. But Lord, I sense it in my spirit, and I'm saying yes to you. Would you say yes to Jesus this morning? More love, more loving the church, more commitment to the church, more devotion to the church, more service within the church family, more outside the walls of this church. More reaching the lost, more sharing my faith. I don't even know how I'm going to do that. I don't even know what I'll say, what to say. I don't know what it looks like, but Lord, I say yes. I say yes to the more. I believe that he would speak to your heart this morning. Would you just give him a minute? And when he does, whatever he says to you, would you say yes? Can I ask you, New Life, would you pray for a holy discontentment to settle over this sanctuary and this church family? We want more. Come on. Would you pray it that way from the eye? Lord, this is for me. This is what I'm desiring. I'm saying yes. Would you begin to pray it on behalf of this church? Lord, we want more. Come on. Begin to intercede for this place. Begin to pray for it. Lord, we say yes to the more. We say yes. We make room for the more. Father, I pray it. I pray it for me because, Lord, you know it. There's a sense in my own heart before this was ever a message for this people or this church. It was a message for me. So I pray it for me that this is a year closer and more. Lord, I pray it for my brother. I pray it for my sister in this room. This is a year of closer and more. And I pray it for this church family, for New Life, this year, the 343 days that remain of it, closer and more. I pray it for each of us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I pray it for you. Even as we started this morning related to last Sunday, I pray that not only was last week a week of getting closer, I pray this week will be a week of receiving more. I pray that someone is filled with the Holy Spirit this week. I pray that there's healing that comes. I pray that your Bible reading is more alive and vibrant than it's ever been. I pray that there's an intercession and an intercessor that's birthed out of this message this morning. I pray that there are new ministries that are launched from this day as God begins to stir your heart more and more and more and more of him, and more for his kingdom, and more for his glory. I pray it for each of us. This week, the more begins. I pray it does. And I pray the Lord's blessing over you. Would you stand? Would you extend your hands to receive his blessing on the authority of God's word? Under shepherd, the great shepherd, high priest of this assembly, I declare it over you. It's his word. It's the instruction of his word that his people are to be blessed and blessings to be pronounced over them. And so in obedience to that, I declare it. This must be so for you today and for this week. This. The Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you, give you his peace, draw you closer, and give you more. In Jesus' name, receive that as the word of the Lord this morning, would you? Say amen, amen, and amen.